Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, open forum. Tim Staples is here, and all is right with the world. 888-318-7884 is our number as we prepare for Lent beginning tomorrow. You can go get your ashes. You can go to – no, wait a second. Now, you can go to Mass. There will be extra Masses everywhere, but yeah. you don't always have to get your ashes in the context of the Mass, right?
That is correct.
Like
– That is not specified, not necessary. You can go get your ashes.
Uh-huh. Because I think I read about some priest who stands outside of his church, which is like an urban church, and gives ashes to anybody who wants them. And a lot of people want to get ashes. You know, they want to have the...
Yeah. I don't think that is, not that I can think of, an abuse. And you don't have to be Catholic. People
right.
forget that, too. You don't have to be Catholic to receive ashes. Just like no. the blessing of the throats. St. No. Blaise, bishop and martyr, right?
Right.
You don't have to be Catholic to receive that. There's something really profound about that. It's beautiful because it right. really is. It's an outreach to remember, dust you are, to dust you shall return. And remember that the church extends healing to everyone.
Yeah.
St. Blaise, bishop and martyr, you know?
Yeah.
Love
right.
that.
So, yeah,
love
you can,
that.
You can go by a Catholic church and get your ashes tomorrow. You can go to Mass. There is an extra charge if you're not Catholic, though, right?
There's that. That's right. And it has
handling
to be,
fee.
It has to be paid to Tim Staples.
Yeah, we got a check to Tim Staples for the handling fee on the ashes. My thing is, I really like it when I come out of there and I've got the cross on my forehead, going out into the world with the cross.
Oh, yeah.
And it
beautiful.
Lasts about 5 minutes because I'm always touching my face or something. And then people be like, what is
some kind of smudge, man? I don't know what's going on with you. I try yeah. not to do that because I like
I do too, but
I like keeping them as long as I can.
888-318-7884, the number. It is, depending on where you are, Fat Tuesday or Mardi Gras or Shrove Tuesday or Pancake Tuesday.
And by the way, I have an article on ashes
uh-huh.
that's going to be going up on our website here probably tomorrow. I'm thinking if it's yeah. not up already. I don't think it is.
I don't know.
On ashes. So do they contradict the Bible and Jesus saying, you know, don't do things to be seen of others and all of that.
Oh.
So check it out at Catholic.com on our blog.
Sometimes I feel like kind of dumb because not just because I didn't know the answer, but I never would have thought of that question.
Oh, right.
Like, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, wow, where did that? But I guess
I did because I used to go after
you.
You
were trying to prove us all wrong. So let's go to Kyle in yes. San Antonio, Texas, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Thanks for getting the app, Kyle. People can get it for their cell phone, Android, iPhone. Your question for Tim Staples.
Well, no thanks necessary. You're welcome. That's, you know, us Catholic millennials, that's how we get our news and everything.
So right, right.
That's a bit for me.
All right.
Well, I just wanted to give you guys a call tonight because there have been a number of times in the past several months and the past year or two where I found myself really, really concerned.
Yeah.
There have been, you know, statements made and positions taken by a number of people, very influential people, even within our own church, from mm-hmm. priests to bishops and even to cardinals that I found really concerning and honestly pretty scandalous.
Yes.
And I guess my question is, you know, I know that we have so many amazing, intelligent, hardworking, and dedicated priests and bishops and cardinals who truly honor the faith and work to uphold the faith. But
yes.
it seems like the voices of these dissenters,
yes.
They're kind of dominating the conversation. And I guess I'm wondering, like,
yeah.
why is that allowed? Why
right.
are all of these tremendous men and women who make up our church, allowing them to steer yeah. the conversation, and why aren't they speaking out more forcefully and standing up for
yes.
Orthodox Catholicism and
oh, yeah.
and true Catholicism?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I am right there with you. You know, we have been... Let me bring myself into the context here. I became Catholic in 1988. I was so blessed to have Pope St. John Paul the Great as my first pope, and then Cardinal Ratzinger, who became Pope Benedict the 16th. I mean, two of the most extraordinary men of our time. And we've, let's face it, as Catholics, we've been spoiled rotten brats for so long. We've had 450 years of incredible popes.
Yep.
You know, some of the greatest men that have ever lived have just happened to be popes. You know,
yeah.
And it's been incredible. And now, you know, in this pontificate, we have a little, now, you should know, I am in many ways a Pope Francis fan. I think there's a lot, and I've said this many times, there's a lot to like about Pope Francis. His evangelism, his emphasis on reaching out, getting out of the pews, his emphasis on mercy, I absolutely love. I've written on it and such. But there is, right now, we have not seen in the last few hundred years the kind of confusion that we're seeing right now. But we have to remember, my brother, this happens. You know, we have times where, I mean, we have to go back a ways, but you may remember, Kyle, when Pope John the 22nd taught that, and yes, it was in his private chapel, but he taught it on more than one occasion, that the saints in heaven don't have the beatific vision until the end of time and the second coming of the Lord. I mean, this caused a huge stink and confusion,
yeah.
Right? And we've had, you know, we could go back further and talk about some other popes that confused things and popes who were not living the faith. Can we imagine someone like Alexander the VI, who had six kids, obviously out of wedlock, and so forth? So, you know, there are times in the church where it's confusing, and no doubt, you know, when Peter, we talked about in the last hour in Galatians 2:9, had to be rebuked by Paul.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was scandalous for some folks here. Hey, this is the Pope, and he wasn't living up to his own teaching. So we have to remember that these things happen. And yes, there are right now. I mean, I think of men like Father James Martin, for example, who is, in my mind, a walking scandal. I mean, some of the things that he has said and taught are just, you know, scandalous when it comes to homosexual, quote-unquote, unions and such, which, of course, the church does not recognize, never has, never will. And we could go on. Just recently, we had a conference with Cardinal Supich, and there were a number of speakers that are just, whoa, wait a minute, Kate Ward from Call to Action. I thought, wait a minute.
So, wow.
So Kate Ward, who in Call to Action, which was kind of, you know, the hammer was dropped on them a long time ago, and here they're popping up at conferences where we do have cardinals speaking and such. Mm-hmm. That's a scandal to folks, and that is unfortunate when you have someone like a Dr. Kate Ward, who is an open advocate for homosexual marriage, for women's ordination, both of which are matters of infallible teaching of the church. The church doesn't have the power to say, oh, we're going to change Jesus on this, right? No, people. I mean, and so these sorts of things are scandalous. There's no doubt about it. But my brother, here is the good news. Jesus Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the fact that you have some people that are saying things and doing things, dissenting, as you said, does not change the reality of Jesus' words and the fact that Pope Francis is the vicar of Christ and he is a valid pope. He's the real deal. And when he dies or retires, now we have to throw out that as a possibility, right?
Then, oh, yeah, that's right. I didn't know where you were going, but yeah.
But then there will be another one that will come in his place. And what we have to do, my friend, is to realize, Kyle, and I have to realize this as a Catholic apologist, I am not in management. I am in sales.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I just mentioned some, you know, high-profile, problematic people. Now, I could have been a guy in the first century who says, hey, what is this Jesus guy doing making Judas one of his 12 apostles? The guy's stealing from the purse, man. And I happen to know he is cavorting with bad guys and he's going to sell out Jesus. What's going on here? So we have to remember that as lay people, yes, we have a right to tell our prelates, hey, I have a problem with this or that, respectfully so, but we also have to remember who we are. We're sheep. They are the shepherds. And maybe you or I might shepherd a little bit different, but guess what? I'm grateful to God I'm not a shepherd. I'm a sheep. And I am not in management. I am in sales, and I like it that way. What we do here at Catholic Answers is proclaim the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we alone possess as Catholics. Mm-hmm. And we help people distinguish between, look, somebody says women's ordination is even a possibility. That is not Catholic teaching. That's contrary to infallible teaching of the Catholic Church. Someone says homosexual unions will maybe, perhaps. No, that's contrary to the infallible teaching of the Church. You are in grave sin. That's what we can do, right? We leave the rest to God, and we do what we can do. As my spiritual director, Father Patrick Brandon, used to always say to me, and he just died about a year ago. He's a wonderful priest. He said, Tim, you do what you can do, but you better be sure you're doing what you can do.
Yeah.
Don't do what everybody else can do. Don't
right.
try to do what everybody else can do. You do what you can do. Does that help at all, Kyle?
Yeah, that helps a lot, Tim. I really appreciate it. I appreciate you affirming what I feel like and what a number of Catholics who I've spoken with feel like are real concerns. But I guess, you know, I'll continue to pray for our leadership, and I know you will too. And if there's any, you know, I know that there are people out there, influential people, intelligent people who listen, and I guess I hope that they would be encouraged too to
sure.
Yeah. speak up and raise their voices as well.
Amen, Kyle. And you know what? I'll say this one last thing. We have to be careful as Catholic laity as well. I mean, I just voiced, you know, I don't like this, I don't like that. But sometimes there are things going on. You've heard the old saying, right? Keep your friends close, your enemies closer. At times, popes have invited people into their inner circles that are not always right about everything. And so they're working on them as well to bring them. And people will say, well, wait a minute, man. I mean, that can be a scandal to everybody else. Yeah, that's possible. I'm just saying, Jesus did it with a man named Judas.
Yeah,
right. You know, and so we have to keep that in mind and not allow ourselves to become scandalized to the point where we start, you know, I'm leaving the church or this or that.
Oh, right.
You know, and because unfortunately that can happen, and that can't happen. Because my friends, to whom shall we go?
I refer you back to what you talked about last hour about the Eucharist. Don't separate yourself from Christ and the Eucharist for anything.
And don't leave Peter because of Judas.
Amen. And I got to say one other thing, Tim, and I this is to add to what you said. You said do what you can do, but make sure you're doing what you can do. I want to just add, don't make that beating up other people online. That's not the way. We're not getting anywhere when we say we're calling this one a heretic and that one, you know. And I mean, there are people who are heretics. I'm not denying that. But I just – that's not helping.
No.
Some of the online stuff that's being said, it's not helping.
Amen. And because what good does that do? St. Ignatius of Loyola said when you rebuke a superior, you can be right.
Yeah.
And still cause more evil than good. So, you know, prudence doesn't mean Paul can't ever rebuke Peter, doesn't mean St. Catherine can't ever rebuke a pope. But note, St. Paul, St. Catherine. I'll leave it at that. Yeah.
Okay, we'll be right back with more Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
This is Bishop Chad Zielinski from the Diocese of Fairbanks of Northern Alaska, and you are listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Tim Staples, and I'm challenging you to take the 20 Answers Challenge. Here's how the challenge works. When you purchase the sampler of all 26 books in the 20 Answers series, we're going to knock 60% off the price, and we're challenging you to finish them all this Lent and Easter season. And this year, to make it easier, we're offering free shipping on the sampler if you live in the continental United States. That's 60% off free shipping and over 500 answers to questions you have about the Catholic faith. Join us this Lent and Easter to take the 20 Answers Challenge, and together we can be part of something great. Call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com now to get your set and begin taking the 20 Answers Challenge today.
We struggle with sin. We're distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. Thankfully, the Church has given us Lent, the perfect time for reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. The saints of the Counter-Reformation faced greater obstacles than these, yet they each found the grace to persevere during a tumultuous time in the Church. How can we do the same? Reform yourself is a good place to start. We all need to reform our souls. This Lent, let the saints who reformed the Church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Pope Francis said, "The key that opens the door to the faith is prayer." Join St. Paul Street Evangelization by running a prayer station in the public square. You don't need to be a professional apologist or theologian. Just listen to the needs of the people you encounter. Offer encouragement, take prayer requests, and pray with people. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
That's right. That's the number, 888-318-7884. It is open forum with Tim Staples, who I really feel like we need to get you some passion, Tim. We need to somehow get you fired up and interested. Hey, wake up, Staples.
I'm telling you.
Come on. Let's go to Greg in Nashville, Tennessee, listening on the EWTN app. Greg, thanks very much for your call. Your question for Tim Staples.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I hope I don't lose the signal. But I don't know if you're familiar with the penitential walk in Fatima. I was wondering if you could explain to me a little more about what that's all about for sure. I know that, you know, the Crusaders at the time of the Crusades, they viewed that as a form of penance.
Yes.
And I was wondering if you could explain to me a little more about
sure.
That.
I'm just going to repeat it real quick, Greg, because I'm not sure everybody was able to hear it. You want to know what we mean by penance,
right,
and what the penitential walk is at Fatima.
Sure. Well, a good definition of penance you can find right in Acts chapter 26, verse 20, where I believe it's St. Paul who exhorts us, because, of course, Scripture is for all of us, to repent and to do works that are meet or fit for repentance, right? So it's not penance is that works part that are fit or meet for repentance. So repentance, according to the Bible, is not enough. It's not enough for us to say we're sorry for our sins. We need to do something to make up for our sins, right? That's what's called satisfaction, right? When we go to confession, Greg, and we confess our sins, I'll use the example of my son who puts a rock through my neighbor's window. He can be as sorry can be, but guess what? He's going to cough up some money out of his bank account to pay for that window to make up or to make satisfaction for what he has done. So that's really the core of what penance is. It's we repent, we're sorry, God, but then we're going to do something. We're going to do what Jesus says in Luke 9:23. Unless a man take up his cross and follow me daily, he cannot be my disciple. Notice that it's not just enough to believe, but we have to take up our cross in order to be a disciple. Well, does that mean that's optional? Well, wait a minute. I already believe, so I'm already saved. Why do I have to do something in order to be a disciple? You want to know why? Because faith alone is not enough. Am I getting at my Protestant friends just a little bit? Greg, if you're following me here, is that works are so important. It's part of the essence of what the Christian life is, that you can't be a disciple without it. And in fact, it participates in that discipleship and makes it a reality. So over the centuries, there are many different forms that penance takes, right? Of course, prayer, almsgiving, fasting. We're about to enter into this wonderful season of Lent where these come to the fore because we need to live them in even a more intense way. We should be doing it all year round, but this is a time for us to really focus our lives and to, you know, do extra prayer, almsgiving, fasting, and there's so much more we can do. Now, the penitential walk and those sorts of things. Now, you're talking about Fatima. There's a tradition that has developed there where people will go along this long path on their knees doing penance in thanksgiving for answers to prayer through our Blessed Mother. But this is the same, it's the same principle. We do penance to make up for our sins, but also to give thanks to God, to the saints, for all of the great gifts that we have in our lives. And so penance is something that's so important for us. It's important biblically. It's important in our spiritual lives. And thank be to God. Thanks be to God for the calendar, Cy, because the seasons of the calendar really bring us the entire salvific life of Christ.
Yeah.
All that he did are made real. And all the stages of his life where he bring salvation to us, it becomes real in our lives. And that's what penance is all about. Penance is more, by the way, than just the penance the priest gives you. Go say, I just went to confession on Saturday and Father gave me, or on Sunday actually, Father gave me one Hail Mary. Does that mean, oh, I said my one Hail Mary, I'm done with penance now. Whew, this is great. No, that's just a kickstarter, but we really need to live penance on a day in and day out basis. Does that help at all, Greg?
Yes, it does. And I wish that, I mean, I can't afford to go to Fatima, Portugal. I would really wish that we would have something similar to that here in the United States. That say maybe that the Shrine of the Blessed Sacrament, you know, at the archway to the entrance of the sacrament, all the way up to the crucified Jesus, and that way people could offer their sufferings for others because of the times that we live in now.
Yeah, absolutely. And there, you will find all over the country. I know, right here at St. Ephraim's, we have a. That's a Maronite parish, I believe. Yeah. St. Ephraim's right here. Every year they do a passion event. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you have people walking on their knees, going up steps and stuff right here at St. Ephraim's. So you have that sort of thing at parishes, you know, all across the country. But you're right. I think that things like penitential walks and, you know, even labyrinths, even though, you know, at times they get hijacked by New Agers. I mean, the labyrinth goes back hundreds and hundreds of years. The idea of not being able to go on a pilgrimage, you can't get there, and so you do a labyrinth. Some people do it on their knees where you go around symbolizing going to the Holy Land or something like that, and it's often done on the knees. I'm all in favor of penance because I know I don't do enough of it.
Yeah.
And as Bishop Fulton Sheen used to say, you need to choose your own penances, because if you don't, God will choose them for you. And he chooses them a lot stronger than we do. So it's a good idea to do your penance now voluntarily.
Greg, in Nashville, one thing I might suggest to you, I know that they have a long staircase at St. Joseph's Oratory up in, in Quebec or Toronto? Where the oratory, or Montreal, no, they're all staring
they're
at me.
They're all
like,
staring.
No,
huh?
I can't remember where it. But Saint Jo- I would look up Saint. What's that? Where is it? Saint Joseph's Oratory. It's in Montreal. Yeah. First of all, Saint Joseph is always a good one to turn to. But also, I know that some of those penitential practices are undertaken at Saint Joseph's Oratory. So if you want to look into that, you might look that up. Thanks, Greg, very much for that call. Now get back on that tractor and continue plowing those fields. Amanda in Denver, Colorado, listening on 1060 AM. I think we can get your question in, but we'll have to wait on the answer.
Okay. Yeah. I also had a comment about the vaccines as well as my question. So I think there was just a distinction that was left out. There are certain circumstances where it is morally permissible that the Vatican and the USCCB has designated. And I actually have an article for anyone that's interested. It has literally a chart of which vaccines are sort of a non-issue
because
they have nothing to do with aborted cell lines.
Yeah,
and ones
very
that are,
helpful.
You can request an alternative when the alternative isn't available, so long as you express your conscientious objection, it's morally permissible.
If I give you my email address, my personal private email address that I never give out to anyone, could you send that to me and I'll tweet it out?
Yeah, I need that as well.
USCCB,
just don't.
I literally print out the chart in there, bring it to the doctors, request alternatives, and
just don't share my email address. It's ckellett, C-K-E-L-L-E-T-T at catholic.com. Please do not share that with anybody. If that's too hard to remember, just use radio at catholic.com.
Yeah, just to dovetail on what she's saying there, I'm sure they're saying that we're talking about a remote enough material cooperation that it would be morally permissible, which is interesting. I definitely need to get that. But of course, Catholics don't have to do that, because Catholics in their own conscience can find it morally objectionable and say no. But that's a very important distinction. I'll take a look at that.
And we never got to your question, Amanda, so hang on. We'll get to it when we come back on the other side of this, when we do more Open Forum with Tim Staples here on Catholic Answers Live.
Join us on air today on Catholic Answers Live.
Why does God sometimes reveal himself privately? How does the Church discern reports of supernatural miracles and apparitions? What are some of the most famous Marian apparitions in history? And what do they teach us? In 20 Answers, Apparitions and Revelations, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more. Explaining the scriptural and theological basis for private revelation, unpacking the Church's approach to evaluating and promoting miraculous phenomena, and sharing inspiring accounts of approved apparitions and revelations from the distant past to the present age. 20 Answers Apparitions and Revelations is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
What does it mean to say that Scripture is inspired? Why don't Catholics believe that the Bible is the sole rule of faith? Do Christians have to follow all the strange and archaic laws found in the Old Testament? 20 Answers the Bible offers a truly Catholic perspective on Scripture, showing how it harmonizes with God's revelation in sacred tradition and with the teaching authority of the Church. 20 Answers the Bible is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I went to Las Vegas years and years ago for one of these cable shows, and I was shocked to see all these old ladies in their 70s and 80s getting off that plane, running for a slot machine. You don't have a chance to win. They're all fixed. I know, my uncle used to have slot machines.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
I guess that's as close as we can get to the groovy music on a Tuesday. Gotta wait till Thursday for the really groovy music. Thanks for playing that, Nick. 888-318-7884 is our number. This is Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Tim Staples is our guest, and we were speaking when we went to the break to Amanda in Denver, Colorado, and I gave her my personal email address, which she cannot share with anyone. Amanda, you also had a question, however.
Yeah. And just real quick, if I can mention that article in case anyone wants to look it up, and then I'll also send it to you. It's called Vaccines, Abortion, and Fetal Tissue, and you can find it on the Right to Life of Michigan website.
Very good. Thank you.
By the way, Amanda, we also, Cy told me we had Father Tad Paholchek on the show. I didn't hear that one.
Uh-huh.
And he said the same thing. It's interesting. We have an obligation to object and to let our voices be heard. But if you believe that there is a remote enough material cooperation, it can be licitly used. It's very interesting.
Yep. Yeah, and that article goes into that distinction, and it's nice, too. I love that you pointed out that the more noise they make about it, perhaps
yes.
the more pharmaceuticals will actually develop morally licit, so we don't have to make that
distinction. Right.
But it has all, like, the charts that are very easy to print out. I bring
Excellent.
It with me to the doctor's office. Makes it really easy to sort of
yes.
Work with that, work within those parameters. So, So my question has to do sort of with anxiety, but, you know, sort of any health issue, I suppose, is sort of long-term. Being a pro-lifer, I find it so easy to say to other people, oh, you know, you're made in the image and likeness of God, and, you know, you're loved by God and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But then I almost have trouble with that with myself when it comes to my anxiety,
yes.
where I feel like on the theological portion, I see my anxiety as a result of living in a fallen world, blah, blah, blah. And I almost have this tendency to want to say, I wish I didn't have anxiety. I wish this could be taken from me.
Right.
And I'm just sort of having this internal struggle of how do I embrace all parts of myself, including the anxiety that I was made with, and fully embrace myself as a daughter of God, but still, you know, have that theological, I guess, recognition that it's from a fallen state. I don't know if that makes sense, my question.
Oh, sure. It's a great question. I was telling Cy when we were off the air, I often say one of my favorite verses. I drive my wife crazy when I say that because she's like, Tim, the whole New Testament is your favorite verse. But but yeah, as you know, Amanda, Philippians 4:6, you know, actually, if you go back to verse 4, finally, brethren, you know, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, just, of a good report, if there be any praise, any virtue, think on these things. In verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Those three verses are just loaded with meaning. And it's something I'd recommend you meditate on, Amanda, that, you know, we're not created to be anxious. Now, of course, we're in a fallen state and we're in a wayward state. But of course, Jesus and Mary were in wayward states as well. The axiom still holds, you know, Padre Pio says, pray, hope, and don't worry, right? And like you said, though, okay, great. Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Padre Pio says, you know, all of that. But here I am, and I'm anxious as all get out. And I can relate to that. And so, yeah, you present that anxiety to God. And what I do when I'm anxious, and I'm often anxious, is I say, I don't believe God wills for me to be anxious about all these things. He wills for me to give everything to Him. But that doesn't mean that if I don't give everything to Him and I'm still anxious, that somehow I'm not loved by Him. You know, I am in this wayward state where we all struggle. We live in a messy situation in our lives. And I believe, Amanda, that God sometimes withholds grace from us, does not heal us of things we ask Him to heal us of, because they are the very things that keep us united to Him, right? We just heard the other day on the feast where we celebrated Saint Josephine Bakhita, who I was blessed to be able to go to Rome for her canonization, along with St. Catherine Drexel and the Chinese martyrs. It was a glorious day back in 2000. But, you know, St. Josephine Bakhita was asked, because she was a slave, as you probably know, Amanda, who was later emancipated, became a saint, but she was just tormented terribly by her slave owners, her body cut up and just horrible things. And she was asked, what would you do if you could ever talk to your slave owners? What would you do or say? And she said, I would get on my knees and kiss their hands, because without them, I would not be receiving our Lord in the Eucharist today. And so, you know, this is a situation where we can say, look, it's not as though God wills for slavery. God doesn't want and did not will, at least in his antecedent will, for St. Josephine Baqueta to be a slave. And yet, that became the occasion for her to cry out to God. And so she thanks God for it. And so, Amanda, I mean, you and I can thank God in that sense for our anxiety, because I know without the anxiety in my life, I would not be on my knees crying out to God. That, anyway, I know it's kind of a long-winded answer, Amanda, but that's how I deal with anxiety in my own life. And I have times in my life of just joy. Sometimes you walk out of confession and you have those days where, oh my goodness, praise God. Oh, can I just stay here? And God says, no, because then it's back to all the anxiety and everything. But see, again, though, you know, we trust God in all things, and we know that, hey, you know, God is permitting this in my life because it keeps me attached to him. So in that sense, we can rejoice for those cuts in our bodies, for the scars, for the wounds, for even the injustices that are done, because they keep us attached to Almighty God.
What do you think, Amanda?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think a lot of that is helpful to meditate on. And I was, you know, definitely speaking more from a clinical sense rather than passing anxiety. And so I do go to like a wonderful Catholic counselor and you know, I'm seeking treatment and all that. But
right.
That's, I think that's really helpful to sort of think long term of how to sort of wrap myself in that and
yeah.
embrace it as a cross to bear.
It is, Amanda. It is. And you know, I also, and I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir here, but in 2 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 6, you know, St. Paul says the messenger of Satan was sent by God to buffet me, right? Gave him this thorn in the flesh, whatever it is. You know, theologians disagree over what it is, but the bottom line is Paul didn't like it. He didn't want it. And he asked Jesus three times, take it away. And Jesus said, no, no, and no. And I love where, you know, when Jesus says, in your weakness, my grace is sufficient for thee. In your weakness, I am made strong. And then St. Paul can say, I will therefore glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may dwell within me. I will glory in the very thing I was begging God to take away, right? That's, I think, is what we're talking about here. I will glory in that. Because I know, and of course, God kind of gave the revelation to Paul. He says, I'm doing this so that you are not exalted because of the abundance of the revelations you've received. I'm doing this to keep you humble. God allows things into our lives to keep us humble so that, you know, think of this, Amanda. If God freed us from everything, we may end up in hell, right? We may end up in hell. I'll take heaven. All right.
Yeah.
In my weakness, if you're made strong, okay, I'll keep the thorn in the flesh. I'll keep the anxiety. But that doesn't mean, you know, it's wrong to ask God to remove that thorn in the flesh or to remove that anxiety. It's just really a recognition that God is sovereign, God's in charge. And if he wills that, if he's in his permissive will, if he's willing that for me right now, then praise God, this is what I need.
Amanda, thank you very, very much for the call. Looking forward to your email so we can get that information out. And we have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Open Forum with Tim Staples after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Got questions? Visit us today at Catholic.com.
Howdy, folks. This is Jimmy Akin, and I'm here to tell you about the 20 Answers Challenge. Here's how it works. When you purchase the sampler of all 26 books in the 20 Answers series, we're going to knock 60% off the price. Then you can challenge yourself to finish them all this Lent and Easter season. And this year, to make it easier, we're offering free shipping on the sampler if you live in the continental United States. That's 60% off, free shipping, and over 500 answers to questions you've had about the Catholic faith. Join us this Lent and Easter to take the 20 Answers Challenge, and together we can be part of something great. Call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com now to get your set and begin taking the 20 Answers Challenge today.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Do you subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine? We hope, but if not, right now we've got a deal that you're going to love. We've reduced the price and thrown in a free digital subscription when you subscribe. That's right, subscriptions to Catholic Answers Magazine just got cheaper, $10 less on one-year subscriptions and $20 less on two-year subscriptions. And right now, when you purchase a subscription, you get a subscription to the digital edition added to your order. Order for free. With a deal like that, it's the perfect gift for friends, family members, seminarians, your priest, even yourself. When you get right down to it, what other gift has the potential to touch hearts and reap eternal rewards? Log on today to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com and sign up yourself, your friends, and your family for a magazine that is bound to make a difference in their lives and the lives of those they meet. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Coming down the stretch, so we'll try to get to as many questions as we can here before we have to conclude the show today. I am Cy Kellett, your host. This is Catholic Answers Live, and it's open forum today. We go now to Brian in Satellite Beach, Florida, listening on Divine Mercy Radio. Brian, thanks for your call. What's your question for Tim Staples?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Happy to.
I read an article the other day on Facebook about a teacher at a Catholic school who got fired for marrying another woman. So my question is not so much the fact that the Catholic Church teaches that gay marriage is not allowed, but what is their stance on just being gay?
Right. Well, there's a wonderful document that the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith put out called Persona Humana. And in particular in paragraph 8, but elsewhere in that document, it lays out the Church's position that, and if you think of it this way, we are all disordered. By virtue of the fact of the fall of Adam and Eve, we are all disordered. We all have disordered passions that we have to constantly keep in check and reorder ourselves and walk in accordance with right reason when our passions want to take us in another direction. So, you know, in that sense, of course, any sexual activity, as you know, outside of its purpose within the parameters of marriage is immoral, right? So whether that's masturbation or adultery, fornication, homosexual acts, all are contrary to our natures and to God who created us, of course, with these wonderful natures that we have, human nature. Now, having said that, I think it's very important we make the distinction in the church between what we call the fomes peccati, or the tendency to sin we have as a result of the fall. All of us have a tendency to sin, but that tendency, as the Council of Trent made very clear and dogmatically so, precisely because Martin Luther and the Reformers were confused on this matter. Luther confused the tendency to sin with sin. And we could, you know, it's one of the reasons why he was, as some historians say, a scrupulous man. He was tormented. And of course you would be, because my goodness, if our tendency to sin is sin, then we would be doing nothing but sinning. You know, so at any rate, so the disordered passions that we have are not sins in and of themselves, because in order for something to be a sin, now that, and to get to your question, that includes the disordered passion towards same sex or towards someone outside of marriage. If you're married and you have a desire towards someone that's not your spouse, that is a disordered passion. But it's not sinful until you engage the will and act on that inclination. And that is so important. James chapter 1, verse 15 comes to mind. Lust, when it is conceived, we just read this at Mass. Lust, when it is conceived in the heart, brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. So notice, when it's conceived, right? Conception, it's a good image there. This isn't something that happens accidentally, right? Conception is something that you do. I know my wife's been pregnant lots of times. It's something that we're...
You figured it out.
Yes, it's very volitional, you know? And so, you know, that's where something becomes sinful. So if you have someone with a homosexual tendency, that is not a sin. It's a defect, yes. It's a disordered passion, absolutely. But it is not a sin. And so someone can have, you know, what we call same-sex attraction and be in full communion with the church, receiving the Eucharist, being a teacher, and so forth. So, you know, I just want to be clear on that. Is that helpful at all?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I appreciate your question.
Thanks very much, Brian, for that call. As the host, I get to every now and then have my own question. Something you said there, I was taught as a child about near occasion of sin. I don't know if you were as a Baptist, were you?
Oh, no, not as a Baptist.
Okay.
I was taught in seminary.
Nobody ever says near occasion of sin, or at least I don't hear it very much, but that is part of it, isn't it?
Oh,
like you have
goodness.
To avoid the situations that will lead to the next thing that will be sinful.
That is crucial. And in fact, to knowingly place yourself in the near occasion of sin is sin. To begin with, because I know that if I go here, this is going to happen, and I do that anyway, that itself is a sin. So, we used to say, right, in confession, I will avoid these sins and the near occasion of sin.
I still say it. I can't get over the way they taught me as a kid, but yeah,
I know.
Right.
A lot of times, in the newer...
Do they leave it out? Is that what happens?
Yeah, I think so. In the newer acts of contrition, you don't find that. But that, when I came in the church, it's the one that I learned. But it's a very important thing in the moral life to avoid the near occasion of sin. And that's something that there's no, the church doesn't have, you avoid this, and there's a list of 1,000 things. No, because the near occasion of sin can be different
for different
people.
It's personal to you, right.
It's personal to you. And that's something that you develop with your spiritual direction in your relationship with God, with your confessor and such, because let's take the alcoholic, the classic example. For him to go to a bar, maybe a near occasion of sin because he's going to tilt one and then it's all over. Whereas someone who's not can go to a bar.
Yeah.
See, it's not sinful for one, but it is sinful for the other.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Tim. Let's go now to Kent in Plainsfield, Indiana, watching on YouTube. Thanks for joining us on YouTube, Kent. Your question for Tim Staples.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
I wanted to let you know that I'm a new Catholic.
Oh, praise God.
A week old.
Oh, well, welcome home.
Praise God.
Thank you. And a lot of it has been Catholic Answers. I love your program and everything that I've learned.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for mentioning that.
My question, I think, is somewhat simplistic. I have a Southern Baptist friend that I've known, 23 years.
Yes.
And she's my adopted mom. And when we go out to eat, I'm pretty shy. So she says the prayer, but I cross myself at the end of it and say amen.
Yes.
How's that looked at? I mean, is that right or wrong?
Oh my goodness, that's right. I immediately can't. I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, where St. Paul says, we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. The sign of the cross, as you may know, goes way back. In fact, Tertullian talked about in the late 2nd century making the sign of the cross on his forehead. And he's not inventing it, obviously. He was a convert to the Catholic faith, and he's talking about something that's always been done. And he's writing in about 190 AD. So this is a very ancient practice in the church of making the sign of the cross. And I would argue as well, it's a great way to witness to the faith. And I think that's what you're doing. So God bless you.
Okay, Kent?
Well, thank you.
All thank right. you.
Appreciate
Thanks.
Appreciate it very much.
It's wonderful to have that good news shared with us, too, Kent. We Amen. Appreciate it. Noah in Canada. You are on with Tim Staples. Noah, your question, please. Noah?
Noah. Love that name, by the way.
Well, I wanted to get a Canadian call in today. Let's try Noah again. I'm going to push the button again.
Noah.
Noah, are you there?
Oh, we lost Noah.
I think he's there. No?
Hello?
Okay.
There he is.
Noah.
Hey. Yep. I have a question about, so as a Christian, what are you limited to what are playing video games or watching TVs or what or TV shows?
Right. Noah, great question. And no, it's not that we can't watch video games or television, but we need to, as I believe St. Paul said, let our moderation be known to all. We cannot allow ourselves to become bound up in any of these things. What is objectively a good thing? Television is a good thing, right? It's something that can be used as EWTN, for example, to propagate the faith, but it can also be used for a lot of evil things as well. Video games the same way. There are good video games. There are things that are, you know, good ways to pass the time. And there are bad ones as well, very violent and bloody and so forth. And even beyond that, Noah, we have to be careful that we don't become addicted. I know I have 7 kids, and especially if my son Lukey is listening right now, you know you need to knock that off, dude. He has a tendency to really, I mean, we have to watch him and say, oh, that's enough, dude. Get off of the video game, because he has somewhat of addictive personality, just like his father does. But thanks be to God, he's also addicted to reading, which is a good thing. That he loves to read and read apologetics. So, Noah, as long as you're doing healthy stuff and you're moderating how much video time, you're fine.
How's that strike you, Noah?
Oh, that's good.
Up there in Canada, do you have some television shows that you could definitely identify and say, that's not appropriate, I shouldn't be watching that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't know how Canadian TV is, because we got a lot of that down here. So moderation, Tim, may mean way more than half the shows are not, or you shouldn't be watching. I mean,
absolutely.
Because there's a lot of...
That's right. There are good shows and there are bad shows, and there are a lot of shows that, yeah, Christians should not be watching at all. But yeah. Again, even the good, if you're like me and you like reruns of the Carol Burnett Show, you can do too much of that too. Or reruns of the Little Rascals. Or I have a weakness for the Three Stooges. I do. And my kids all love the Three Stooges. But, you know, anything, you can do too much of anything.
That's why you called me curly yesterday when I got my hair cut.
<That's right. laughs>
You know, my mother wouldn't let us watch Three Stooges when we were kids.
Too violent.
Because we had three brothers. There was three of us that were all about the same age, the three boys. Yeah. And I think she was pretty sure we'd put each other's eyes out or something if we started watching the
I do the think three that's Stooges. A classic example, though, the modern concerns, because, oh, my goodness, you know, somebody ate too many blueberries, or, you know, the Willy Wonka thing.
Oh, yeah.
You can't watch that because one of the kids, you know, it's like, give me a break.
Yeah.
You know, watching a kid eat some blueberries and have a reaction is not going to cause people to torment others who are allergic to blueberries. We're going to force them to eat them.
Oh, that's what
whatever.
You're saying. I see. Yeah. But we would, my brothers and I, we were dumb enough. We would have dropped anvils on each other's heads.
I suppose, there you go. You have to deal with the individual situation.
That's right.
There are sick people like Cy Kellett in the world. Yes.
Yeah. The best thing about the Carol Burnett Show is, Tim Conway trying to crack up Harvey Korman. Like, you can see him doing it.
Oh,
he just wants
gosh.
To make... I said hello to Tim Conway once.
You did?
Yeah. He came into a restaurant where I was working.
That is wonderful.
Yeah, that's my brush with greatness right there. That's my...
That is a classic. The Carol Burnett Show. Yeah. Absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. Did they just had a celebration of it. Did you watch that thing? Or
I didn't, but I know I'm getting all the shows.
Oh. I know you're a Johnny Carson fan, too. You got all those.
Oh, I got them all.
Tim Staples, thank you. 2 hours, that's hard work. And you I really appreciate the yeoman's work today. Thanks.
This has been a blessing. Thanks to all who called. God bless you all. Let us pray for one another.
Amen. And if we didn't get to you, I apologize for that. But we do open forum again on Thursday. Don't forget about the 20 Answers Challenge. We got 26 20 Answers books. The group of them together, the collection is 60% off right now, and you get free shipping. Just go to shop.catholic.com. 60% off. 26 20 Answers books and free shipping. Thanks again for joining us today. We'll see you next time, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.